Good morning, everybody. We hadn't had the opportunity to say yet Happy New Year to one and all. Oh, good. Some people are awake. That sounds good. I have to warn you that I have full permission from the deacons to be enthusiastic. That was the feature of our prayer before the service. So who's feeling enthusiastic? Oh, look at that. For those listening to the recording, watch out in 2024, because we've got a bunch of enthusiastic people in Paignton Baptist Church, which is really good news. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would fill us now with your Holy Spirit, that we may be enthusiastic with your Spirit, breathing out what you breathed in worship, in love, in compassion, in understanding, in a sense of adventure for the year ahead. And thank you that we can come here, whether we're feeling enthusiastic or very sad, or a bit all over the place, however we are today, we can come, knowing that you welcome us, you love us, and you have a heart to bless us. Thank you that we can be here at this time, listen to this service at this time, and that you are alongside us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just a couple of notices today. One of the verses of the Bible reading we had last week talked about, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And I think that's going to be a bit of a theme for this year. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And the word of Christ dwells in us richly as we read it, as we hear it, as we meditate on it, as we worship using it, as we tell it to other people and so on. And for those who weren't here last week, God gave us a gift, which was Romans 5, verses 1 to 5. A gift of grace, peace, hope, and love. And this is the scripture here. Now, if you didn't get one of these cards, they're on the table outside. We're going to be hearing God's word later on today. And we're going to be looking through the first letter to the church in Corinth. 1 Corinthians, as you'll see it in our Bibles. It's the letter to the church in Corinth. And David Butler here, he asked me, he said, have you got a title for the series of as we're going through 1 Corinthians? And I thought, that's a good question. Thank you for prompting me. And the answer is yes. From where the conversation that David Burrows and I first had that prompted this thought about 1 Corinthians, about God's wisdom. Is God's wisdom in an age of foolishness? God's wisdom in an age all around us is foolishness. And in the biblical terms, that's evil. And is God's wisdom. And so I would encourage you to take one of these. I'd encourage you to look at the books on the table. There aren't many out at the moment. There's just a few. And they're Bible readings for the year. Or there's a few of the Bible readings for the month that are out there. I would encourage you at the beginning of this new year to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And the last thing I want to say as an opportunity to do that is tonight. Tonight we have our service, and at the beginning of every month we're going to have a service in the evening at 6:30 going through the year. An opportunity to worship, to hear God's word, to reflect on God's word. We've been doing that in different ways over the last few months. And tonight, Peter Bottrell is going to be speaking on biblical meditation. And we'll be doing it. We'll be meditating, chewing on, eating and devouring and digesting God's word in a beautiful way. And Peter is given these words from God, and he goes around to lots of different churches. I don't know how many churches he's tried this one out on so far. But it's the same word that goes to each church. And it's a precious gift. So I do encourage you, if you hadn't thought about coming into evening service before, Do come tonight. It'll be a precious time. So, as we come to worship, just want to read a couple of verses from the reading we're going to be hearing later in 1 Corinthians. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are among those who call upon the name of the Lord. Their Lord, the Lord of the church in Corinth, and our Lord. And so we're going to enter a time of worship now. I encourage you to stand, to sit, to pray, to be still. This is our time of worship. Jesus doesn't tell us how to worship apart from in spirit and in truth. So let's enjoy this time with God together. As usual, feel free to make use of the instruments if you want to. It says those who wait on the Lord will be renewed in their strength. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon him.
those words just up there a moment.
Let's just look at those words. Our God, all of us, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, and everyone who doesn't, our God, you reign forever. Our hope, as we look to the new year, we do have hope. And we need hope. You are our hope. And you are our strong deliverer. Whatever scrapes we get into, whatever we do or someone else does that gets us in a mess, hurts us, traps us, you are our deliverer. The Lord we worship is the waymaker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper, the light in the darkness.
That is
That is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
This is who God is. Let's give him our praise and worship.
Amen. And yes, Lord, we know it's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit from the Lord of hosts. So once again, we ask you, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us that we might worship you and serve you for your glory. Amen. Please be seated. It's a wonderful thought that as we gather together today, we are with all those others who are calling upon the name of the Lord. And it's a precious thing that we are together. We have this place. Now, I've done it again, and I'm just telling myself, it just keeps me humble. I've forgotten the offering. So I'm afraid I have now remembered. And so those who thought, well, we've got away with it, you haven't. This is our opportunity to say thank you to God for his goodness. If you've come prepared for an offering, then please contribute. But this is that others may know the goodness of God. Let's take up our offering now. Thank you.
Father, thank you that you have met our deepest need, that we have received your mercy and grace. And so we thank you. And these gifts are our offering at this moment of our money to you, that others may come and know your great love. Multiply them, bless them, we pray. Guide all those who are stewards of these offerings. Amen. So we gather together as those who call upon the name of the Lord. And we come to a meal. And all over the world, for 2,000 years, people have been celebrating this meal with bread and wine. We have non-alcoholic wine and bread. And it's a simple meal, designed to be simple by Jesus so we could all partake in it. And we gather together, and all those who want to say thank you to Jesus are welcome to partake in this meal. And this word again, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As you come to this meal, receive his grace and peace. We're going to sing a song now that we're used to singing the first two verses. And there's a third verse which can be sung at communion time. And it's a precious song, Jesus Stand Among Us, at the meeting of our lives. And as you're here, you may be thinking of other people in other places. We're going to be praying for other churches later on. But as we sing this song, feel free to sit or stand. It's good to appreciate who we are. And you know I often do this. Could I ask you just to have a look at your neighbours? Or if you can't stand the one next to you, look a further afield to someone else. Look beyond them. Jesus, stand among us at the meeting of our lives. Be our sweet agreement at the meeting of our eyes. And Charlie and Ian, I'm looking at you now. I'm looking at your eyes. You can't see me, but I can see you. Watch out. And because we love Jesus, we gather here. So let's sing this song.
So to you we're gathering. invite those who are serving, if they'd like to come and join me at the front.
Grace and peace. That's what we've come here for. Grace and peace. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We call upon your name. Come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little, and you want to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. We are forgiven. We've just prayed for forgiveness and cleansing. And we are. And it's a wonderful thing to be forgiven and free. The Apostle Paul tells us how this meal started. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body. Do this, break it, in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Andrew is going to lead us in a prayer of thanks for this meal.
Let us pray. Lord, as we stand at the start of a new year, we give renewed thanks for all your gracious gifts to us in the past, gifts to the most undeserving of people, and we look forward with anticipation and enthusiasm to what you are going to do in 2024. But most of all, we thank you for this meal of remembrance of that Last Supper in an upstairs room in Jerusalem, before that most terrible scene on the cross, when the blood of Jesus was shed and his body was broken for us and for all people. So we give thanks for this bread and wine, the tokens he asked us to remember him by. May we always live in gratitude. Amen.
Amen. And so we share this meal. Andrew and Janine will bring round the cups with the bread on the top. Feel free to eat the bread as soon as you get it, and then we'll drink the wine together as a sign of our unity. This is my body.
Do this. together we drink it in remembrance of you, in obedience to you.
Amen.
Amen.
Father of all, we give you
thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you. Before David comes and brings God's word to us, and Andrew's going to be reading the Bible for us. Eva, I've just got something I want you to do for us while we're hearing the message. It's up to you. I'd like you to draw a picture, or it could be a poem, whatever, of the church family. It could be doing anything. We could be playing football, or we could be taking communion. So it's whatever you want to do. It's this strange group of people putting down something that we do together. And I think Sue will help as well. Okay? So it's a picture of something the church family is doing together. David, let's just pray for you.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for David. We thank you for the word you've given to him to speak to us. We pray that we would hear in our hearts as well as our ears. Amen.
Amen. If we can have the first slide, that would be great. What do you think of the church? A thought to be going on with, and we'll come back to it later. So today we're starting this series on 1 Corinthians. Corinth is in the city in the south of Greece. I don't know Greece myself, you may have been there. It's 50 miles west of Athens. And if you've got very good eyesight, it's the red thing there, just in the middle of the map. It's joined by, these days, by a major road. And these days, Corinth is a city of about 60,000 or so. But in New Testament times, it was prosperous and very important. But sadly, it was known as a city of moral corruption. So if you said, you're behaving like a Corinthian, bad news, came to represent a person who indulged in every type of immorality. Of all the churches Paul wrote to, Corinth probably had the most serious problems: immorality, wild abuses of gifts, extreme selfishness, pride, and division are just a few of the problems. Sounds like a pastor's nightmare, doesn't it? The evil and immoral practices of the world were creeping into and influencing the church, as if the people had one foot in the world and one foot in the church. And this letter, as we'll be seeing over the course of the next few weeks, has a lot to say to us today. Now, Paul came to Corinth on his second missionary journey, and he met Aquila and Priscilla, then later Silas and Timothy joined them. So they had a pretty strong leadership team there. And if you'd like to know more, a bit of homework, as Stephen often says, Acts chapter 18, verses 1 to 21 will tell you about how the church in Corinth first started. Even Crispus, the head of the synagogue, believed, and opposition mounted. And Paul was dragged before the local tribunal. They refused to hear the case. In that passage, Sosthenes is the new head of the synagogue, perhaps replacing Crispus. He is leading the anti-Paul faction of Jews, but for some reason he is beaten. But, as we'll hear just shortly, in 1 Corinthians 1, Paul greets the Corinthians, Sosthenes, our brother. So perhaps the second leader of the synagogue had been saved as well. Andrew, if you could read that passage for us, that'd be great.
1 Corinthians 1, page 1144. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this: one of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Other, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Well, yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
Thank you very much, Andrew. It seems to me that it's become fashionable to disrespect the church. People are fine about Jesus, but rather less so about the church. However, the Bible teaches that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And Jesus will build his church, and the gates of Hades shall not be victorious against it. The Lord Jesus loves his church deeply. While preparing this talk, this phrase came to me strongly about the church. Listen, please. You are beautiful and greatly loved. Let me say that again. You are beautiful and greatly loved. It's true of the church. It's true of each individual Christian. You know, I reckon I could live my life on the basis that I am thought by the Lord, anyway, beautiful and greatly loved. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, which had many problems, as we heard earlier. Yet Paul held the church in high regard. So, back to my original question. How do you view the church? How do you view the church? Paul has a high view of the church. Firstly, Paul views believers in the local church as in Christ Jesus. In other words, the local church is set apart in Jesus Christ. We are those who have a living relationship with the Lord Jesus because we've turned from all wrong and trusted in the work of the cross, where Jesus took the punishment for our sins. That's us. We're those who've received the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, our Lord, and our friend. And we seek to live by the power of the Holy Spirit in the power of the risen Lord. May this be so. Secondly, Paul views the church as those sanctified and called to be his holy people. One version says, to you who have been called by God to be his own holy people. Now, but to be sanctified or to be holy are not fashionable terms. They've come to imply proud, as in holier than thou, or sanctimonious. But this is far from the meaning of the word to be holy. It means to be like Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. I remember when at university as a young Christian, I decided that I would try and be holy. Imagine. After a few weeks of this, one of my friends asked me if I was all right, as I seemed rather intense and serious. Holiness is not a self-generated desire to be good, but a Holy Spirit transformation to make us more like Jesus. As we share our lives with the Lord, we pray, read his word, the Bible, we trust and obey, the Holy Spirit transforms us. It's his job, I'm pleased to say. Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. May that be true for each one of us. How can I tell I'm holy? Well, one guide is perhaps, am I becoming more like Jesus? Got a long way to go, me. Or do I have the fruit of the Spirit? Ninefold. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What's not to like? My prayer is that we in this church and all churches may become more like Jesus and possess more of the fruit of the Spirit. Thirdly, Paul views the church as people who are united with other Christians. Now, however we may wish to hold on to traditions of our own church, the Lord Jesus was very clear that nothing should come between us and our fellow believers. The Lord Jesus was very clear. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you also must love one another. The Apostle John emphasizes the point. In his old age, he wrote, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. So, the Lord Jesus, Paul, and John are united. The local church is to be united in love. May we take Paul's advice elsewhere in Scripture. Use helpful words, a kind that build up and provide what is needed, and live in harmony with our fellow believers. Fourthly, Paul describes the local church as those who pray. Verse 2 says, all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The church is to be a place of prayer. When the Lord Jesus cleansed the temple, he said, it is written, he said to them, my house will be a house of prayer. But you are making it a den of robbers. We need to be worshipping and praying as a church. Now, obviously, we need to be praying alone, secretly, before the Lord. But also, we need to be praying regularly with others, in church services, in small groups, and if at all possible, perhaps in one of the church prayer meetings. Tuesday evening, 7:30 is a very precious time. I'm usually there. Thursday morning at 10 o'clock. Two possibilities. You're free in the evening, Tuesday evening. You're free in the morning, Thursday morning at 10. May we be a church who regularly call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fifthly, Paul describes the church as a place of grace. I like this one. This is a place where we receive God's undeserved favour. And we all need to regularly remember the undeserved favour of the Lord Jesus and to generously show it to each other. May we all receive grace. Great to be a place of grace. Sixthly, Paul describes the church as a place of peace. We see that Paul prays for peace for the church. The word he used, you may well know, it's shalom. Shalom. It means calmness, wholeness, completeness, soundness, health, and safety. With implication of permanence. Wow, what a lovely thing to have. The church is to be a place of shalom, a place of peace. And if we're stuck about how to pray for each other, let's copy Paul and pray for grace and peace. Great thought. And finally, Paul talks of the church as a place of thankfulness. Now, the church in Corinth was not your perfect church, okay? And many problems. Yet Paul starts by picking out their strengths. Verse 4 reads, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given to you in Christ Jesus. For in him you've been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Oh, how easy I find it to moan or complain. How about you? Yet this should not be our default position. Let's seek to be a people of thankfulness. Thank God for each one. As Paul reminds us, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And the psalmist says, enter his gates, come in the doors, with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So, God's church, how he views us? He views us as beautiful and very much loved, greatly loved. Now, despite these wonderful things about the local church, all churches have problems. Really?
No.
It's true. Do you get letters each Christmas from friends and so on? One friend of Rowena's is married to a vicar, and she said in a recent letter, I despair of the church sometimes. But as we consider the situation in Corinth, may we ask, do we seek unity in the church? Do we seek unity in the church? Or do we foster divisions by following in the church certain groups or certain leaders? Let's look at verses 10 to 17. Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you agree with one another in what you say, that there may be no divisions among you, but you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household, have informed me there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas, that's Peter. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. So no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Oh yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanus. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. I'm glad Paul's absent-minded, but there you are. But Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. It's very easy to get upset over small things. This is the bit that Rowena, when she read the talk, enjoyed the most. It's important that we don't become like custard Christians. Do you know the phrase? Upset over trifles. Let's keep first things first. Let's be grateful for the fact that we are the Lord's. It's also important we don't put certain preachers on a pedestal, but that we respect everybody and encourage each other. Also, there's a tendency in the church to have a certain theological emphasis and despise those who have a slightly different emphasis. I like the advice of one speaker who encouraged me as a young Christian to read Christian books from a variety of perspectives: Reformed, Evangelical, Pentecostal, Charismatic, and so on, rather than just pushing a party line all the time. May we be people who seek to promote mutual respect to believers who hold a different theological emphasis, united in submission to the Bible and the basics of our faith. Finally, and briefly, where is the power of the Christian message? Let's look at verses 17 and 18. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. As we'll see in more detail next week, the central message of the Christian faith is the cross and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Do you know, I attended church for many years before I realized why Jesus had died on the cross. Do you know Jesus died not first and foremost as a good example? No. He bled and died to take the punishment for our sins, that we might be totally forgiven and free from all condemnation. Wow. That's been the basis of my life ever since. Isaiah teaches us, Isaiah 53, but he, that's Jesus, was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds you are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That lovely verse in 1 Peter 2. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. So, let's be those who support and honour the local church, those who seek unity with our fellow believers and who proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified. Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for your local church. May we imitate you by seeing it as beautiful and greatly loved. Please help us to cooperate with the Lord Jesus as he builds his church in every way. Amen.
Thank you very much, David. Eva, can you bring up your picture? Can you bring it up? Come and stand up here a bit. Eva has done exactly what I asked. You've given a picture of the church gathered together, and you gave a picture of what you see in the front row, didn't it? Can I just hold it up so people can see? So this is what Eva can see, because she's in the front row. Yeah, round of applause, please. She was very careful to look to see exactly what she could. So can you tell me what's in there on your picture? Can you tell me what's there? What's that one? What's that?
I don't know.
You don't know what that is? That's all right. That's a microphone. That's a microphone, so we can hear. So you did the two crosses. You spotted the small one. And you do the flowers. And what was the last thing that you did? Because you'd finished it and then you thought, ah, I've missed something. What was it you missed?
The writing on there.
You saw the writing. This says, Jesus said, I am the way. Now, you run out of energy to do all the words. So I'm going to get them to do it, all right? Because they've got it all in front of them. So on the count of three, one, two, three. John 14, verse 6. Did you spot the mistake, Eva? They all got something wrong. Exactly. Before, it didn't have that. They all missed it. You put it there in capital letters, Jesus said. They all missed it. This is why you have children. They're not going to forget that now, are they? Thank you very much. A round of applause for Eva, please. Isn't it interesting? Missed the one at the top. Thank you, David, for starting us off in 1 Corinthians. So just before we finish, we can put into practice something of what we've heard. We can commit ourselves to support and honour the church as Jesus does. This church and the whole church. And we can pray for other churches, all those who call upon the name of the Lord, their Lord and ours. And so it'd be good just to pray now in a time of prayer, and you might want to name a church. I was thinking about the churches that I've been part of. Some don't exist anymore. We might just want to bless a church locally or somewhere, perhaps you know they've got troubles. So just the church beginning with T or whatever. You don't need to give the name because God knows. But let's do what Jesus does, loving the church and blessing the church. Let's do that now.
Thank you, Lord, for this church here, all the number of years it's been here. We thank you, Lord, for all the people that have worked through it, be where what it is today, and all the ministers in the heart. We just thank you, Lord. We ask you to bless this church and this congregation, and Stephen and Leslie, and all the people. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful weekend I've just had. And we thank you, Lord, that we are alive today to pass your message on to other people. And the church I'd like to pray for is at Tumbeo in Torquay. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, I want to pray for St. Paul's Parish Church in Deptford, in London, where our son is the incumbent, and pray for him as he'll be leading worship right now in that place where Josie and I were privileged to share just a few days ago. Amen.
Amen. Place that has, they've got very good memories for us, but also some very painful memories. They're about to lose their vicar and her husband, who are both retiring, and facing uncertain futures, they wait to see who you're going to bring along as their next vicar. So, Father, I just pray a blessing on them all now.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, I pray for the persecuted churches in the world, that we have freedom. And we can worship you, Lord. Oh, but Lord, bless them. Bless them, oh, greatly, Lord, because they are persecuted. They are not free. Thank you for their faith, Lord. Thank you for them, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Father, I would like to pray for the church. church there where our daughter and son-in-law worship, and also for the church, the Anglican Church in Sherford, which I hope and pray our granddaughters will be able to find you in that church.
Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I'd like to pray a blessing on Riverside Church in Taunton and all those who are
Amen. Amen.
Father God, I pray for churches everywhere to stand on your word. I pray for them not to come under attack by means of false teaching and preaching it, New Age teaching, for example. A lot of churches are sensitive to the occult and Halloween and things like that, but they don't see false teaching creeping in through the back door from the New Age movement. Cross into this to protect churches and heal them through to your word. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, we've been asked by the Baptist Union to pray for the whole of the Baptist Union churches. And we ask you to just hold us quietly and safely as things progress and decisions are made. And let there be opportunities for us to strengthen our relationships with local churches. Let there be opportunities for us to share fellowship with brothers and sisters from our local Baptist community. And I also ask you to hold safely our regional ministers' team at a very tricky time here, where there's more difficulty with transport getting to places, but also lots and lots of questions still being asked. And I ask this in your precious name, Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, I ask a blessing over the main Sorian church in Reading, where I came continue to bless them every week.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word that says he will give you strength. God, who has called you into fellowship with his son Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. We thank you that you will give strength to those who need it, and you will always be faithful. Help us to be faithful in prayer for the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Our final hymn reinforces the commitment that that David alluded to, that we have to proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is what we're called to do. And our final hymn, this makes us think about the beginning of the year, the fact that God is always on the move. God is working his purpose out as year succeeds to year. Thank you.
From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.